the tempo of that coda is a lot slower than the rest of the song.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more. I mean, I'm not going to say it's more chill, but it has like a different feel. That's why I thought it was a different song.
It also resolves all the tension.
Yeah, it's like, because at the end she's like, I'm going to make you my home.
This is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter,
with Willa Krishnaswamy
and Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team.
Welcome back, listeners.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, Willa.
Okay, what's up?
not much.
Yeah, I'm excited for today, our first episode. If you don't know, this is Songs to Discuss with your daughter. I pick a song and I interview my dad on it because he is a producer. He's a composer, yeah.
A mover?
A composer!
Oh, a composer. Yeah, I'm a composer and a producer and I'm a musicologist and all sorts of other things with music.
Yeah, and he's just good with music, so we thought this would be fun. Now, today we're going to be analyzing / talking about the song called Love Language. If you don't know, Ariana Grande just released a cool, awesome, more R&B new album. It's called Positions. And I chose this song because it's got a really cool structure. None of her songs have had like a coda. Like, so she has the song, and then at first I thought it was like a completely different song. But it's really like your typical love language part, like pause and then a coda, which is cool, right? Isn't it? Like,
it's really cool. And I didn't know that was a coda either. When I was growing up, you would spend a lot of time listening to an album from an artist that you love, and you would sit down and just listen to the record or the cassette or the CD, and you'd be very aware of when each song started and ended. But now we're listening on the go all the time, so like we just put the album on in our car.
Yeah.
And then it was only after a couple of playthroughs on the album that I noticed that that part at the end is
like,
actually
yeah,
the end
of
that song.
Like,
yeah.
So I thought it was cool. It's also like a song that's controlled, but it's also upbeat. Like, it's not like it, the production is pretty, like, it has really cool sounds in it. We'll get to that in a little bit, but yes.
Yeah, controlled is a good way to describe the energy of the song. I agree
with
that.
Yeah, it's like kind of upbeat, but it's not like really epic pop or anything.
It stays in its lane.
Yeah, it doesn't have like a big, I wouldn't say it doesn't have a giant build, but it has like a catchy chorus. Like,
and you can hear that from both the arrangement of the drums to the harmony, which kind of stays in one general direction and kind of always returns to its home base, and to her vocal register, which kind of doesn't get really crazy. She doesn't get super loud. Uh-oh. What is your alarm going off for?
I don't know. That was, that was very odd.
Random.
I think someone was calling me.
Random alarm. Oh.
Yeah, I'll have to text her and be like, sorry, can't talk now.
Okay.
But, well, so yeah, I don't know about you guys, listeners. If you haven't listened to this song, you guys should go listen to it. Ariana Grande, Positions, called Love Language. And I'm so excited to talk to my dad about this because we actually, like, since we're doing this podcast, I haven't really been able to, in the car, just be like, so what do you think of this song? So I'm really excited to think, like, to listen to what he has to say about it. Yeah, and also, if you don't know, we have new episodes every Sunday. Go check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's get right in.
So we'll listen to the song now.
All right, just so you listeners know, we actually can't legally play the whole song on this podcast today. But if you want to hear the whole thing, go to Spotify or wherever you stream your music. Search Love Language, Ariana Grande. It should come up. And yeah, if you want the whole full experience, go listen to that because we are going to be talking about the bridge in just a little bit once we finish hearing an excerpt. And if you want to actually hear the bridge, because we're not going to be able to include it in the excerpt, don't forget to go and listen on wherever you stream your music. All right. Please read hard, I love you, I'm not learning what it means. I want you to kiss me, give my language, baby, talking shit all night. Shoes like wool, no, you like an inside job. Running cause you just my speed, that's you wanted a slow mo. That was great. That was awesome. Yeah, and I don't know if, like, you know, love language is like, ah, you want to keep speaking my love language, and it just fades out. And then you heard that part, it was like, head over my shoes, language. And that was really cool. Yeah, one part I like is normally in a lot of pop songs, you have a very, like epic chorus and then very calm bridge. And then you go, like, build after the bridge and then right into the chorus again. But I feel like you don't really know it's a bridge. It's a very unique bridge. It's, like, it feels like you still haven't, like, it's a bridge, but it just feels
You mean the pardon my French part?
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like a verse, kind of.
Baby, pardon my French, but could you speak in tongues? Never lost in translation, because you know how to want, boy. Treat it just like she wants you.
You know, it's another section, but you don't, like, you know what I mean? If you don't know what I mean, well, I'll kind of try to elaborate more. It's kind of like, it doesn't have that typical right into the chorus, which makes the chorus a little more unique. And I feel like it fits her voice really well. She has a very R&B voice. And in R&B, you don't have a ton of, like, very epic, like, you know what I mean, like, epic choruses.
Yeah, we can't. You can, but
yeah, you can. Definitely. But there's a long. I'm not going to generalize, but
yeah, this definitely fits into the type of R&B that's very chill and moody and keeps its flow going.
You know, it had a very, like, waterfall effect into. I'm not going to say epic waterfall effect. Like, you know, there's some waterfall that come crashing down, but then there's some that, like, are very slow into it. She goes like, hey, if you don't keep speaking my, like that.
Wait, so are you calling that the chorus?
Well, I'm saying it. The bridge feels very connected to the chorus.
Right. And the chorus you're calling the, if you're going to,
yeah,
if you're going to speak my love language part.
Yeah.
Because it's. Because there's sort of like a chorus, but the verses aren't really verses. They're almost like pre-choruses.
Yeah, because the verses kind of repeat, which is cool.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's like, it definitely has, you know, your A section, B, A, B kind of format. But it's definitely, like, it definitely isn't something that you hear on the radio a lot if you.
It's like A, B, A, B.
Yeah, and then C.
Which is the bridge.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then it goes back to A. Mm-hmm. And then D, which is the coda.
Yeah.
But the A section really is more of the chorus than the B section, even though usually it would be the other way around.
I know. I feel like that's what makes it really interesting. Like,
and what's interesting, too, is that she starts out with the A section with lyrics that are very verse-like. She says, oh, I probably know what you're thinking. What's the use? And then you go into the B section, and then you come back to that A section, and then you get the hook of the song, if you're speaking my love language.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting harmonically, too, because the A sections, which would be the kind of the choruses, are very unstable harmonically, whereas the B sections are very much more stable harmonic.
Okay. Yeah. Another thing, as you know, or if you don't know, on Songs to Discuss with Your Daughter, I always prepare some questions for my dad. But before we get into it, I just want to say, when I was talking about how it feels so controlled, kind of, you know, in the beginning, it's like, da, da, na, 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 na. You hear, if you're listening closely, you kind of hear, like, voices, like in a mall or something, like. Busy in the beginning, and then it kind of dies down so you can really hear Ariana's vocals. And
did you always hear those voices when we listened to this in the car? Because I didn't hear these voices.
You didn't? Well, see, at first I kind of thought it was like claps. Or I thought it was kind of like claps, but like also some sound effects. But then now as I was listening, it made me sound like, can you play it for a second?
Mm-hmm.
It made me realize, like, wow.
Yeah, they're really obvious in the beginning.
I mean, they're muffled, and as you can see when she's like, huh. I'm sorry, I might have been pitchy there. But, huh. She kind of like, she like that.
Do that one more time.
Huh.
Okay, one more time.
She kind of like, that's basically like, if you know, like in a race, and you have like one of those big things that goes, to start the race. kind of like that, like that tells the voices. They're very muffled voices, but I'm really curious. This isn't actually one of my prepared questions, but I'm really curious. Like, maybe I should do some research. I'm sorry, I don't have good diction today. Research about why she added those voices. Like, you know, when you're writing a song, and this comes with everything. When you're writing a book, when you're writing a song, you always have a reason for something. Like, if you're playing piano and, like, why would there be sharps if you could just play eight, like, white keys? Like, there's always a reason for something, so I'm really curious about those.
It's interesting because, I mean, when you're a producer and you're thinking about ways to make your track interesting, a lot of times it's really fruitful to go to the lyrical content and to think about what the images or the concepts in the song are.
Yeah, definitely.
So this song is called Love Language, and it's this, and conceptually she's talking about, like, we're speaking the same language, but we have this secret language between us that only we understand.
Yeah, because, like, and then there's a ton of muffled voices.
And so voices...
You explain things so well.
And, you know, conceptually it's really cool because the human ear and the human brain, so the ear translates sound into brain waves.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So the ear hears, but the brain decides what to do with that information. And the brain can either turn that sound into language or music or other important, you know, sound that you would get feedback from, like like a kettle boiling over.
Yeah.
Or noise. And what's interesting is that the voices that you hear in the beginning, you can't hear what they're saying, so they become noise and they become distracting.
Like busy noise.
And then they kind of fade away and you get into her interior world where she's speaking,
like,
this language directly with her.
Kind of like if you're, like, flying it, like, and the clouds get out of the way for you. Yeah.
And the other interesting thing is that when you're driving in a car, there's a lot of noise naturally from wind and from the wheels against the road and all the other ambient noises that go into moving through the world in a car. And so that creates white noise, which is sound that has no pitch. And white noise is really good at masking other noise. So that's why I didn't hear those voices in the car, because I think they were being masked by all the noise of just driving. And then all of a sudden I heard them in my studio and I was like, wow, that's cool.
Mm, yeah. Thanks, Dad. That was very explanatory. All right. I really don't want...
You have enough science for today?
Yeah. We definitely don't want to spend too much time just talking about it, because I want to get into these questions. All right. My first question, this just came to mind so much because I feel like this is so crucial to the song. Like, it would sound so different if it didn't have this, because I don't know if you didn't notice. If you hear that string riff in the beginning that continues through to the chorus when it's like, da, 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 that is just like, I was really curious about this. So, like, my question is, where does that string riff come? No, where does that string riff that comes in the chorus and the intro come from? And, like, how did they, and or how did they make it? Because I feel like that could have also been digitally, like, mixed and made through different digital sounds. So I'm, like, curious, where'd it come from?
It could come, strings could come from sample libraries now, or they could come from real string section recordings. And sometimes you can't tell the difference.
Yeah, because it definitely feels kind of, it feels real, but it also has that, like, very, I feel like everything's digital now, but it has that kind of.
So my guess, if I had to guess what the process of putting this track together was like, is that the strings were in there as samples, and then they went back and replaced them with real strings, because those strings are beautiful. And the legato in those quick figures, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that's very hard to program. So it would, like, if you were just going to use a short string sample, it would sound like this. And you hear how every note still has, like, an attack. Da, 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 da. They sound a little mechanical.
Yeah, they sound like, in the song, it sounds like if you ever look at like data charts, it's like you, it can go up, it could go down, kind of like waves. Like,
yeah, you're right about that. So what would happen is with these samples, you'd see more transients, which are the attacks in the waveform.
Yeah.
Whereas the sound that she uses is very smooth. So the other thing I can do to try to figure out what they did is go to Wikipedia and AllMusic and try to find as much information on the credits as I can. And on Wikipedia, they actually have a very full listing of credits, which includes a whole bunch of string players.
Wow.
And not only that,
that's a great primary source. Like.
Yeah. And they tell you in Wikipedia which tracks they played on. So if I pull up the Wikipedia for the album, I can see a couple of cellos, couple violas, couple violins, couple basses. It's not a full 40, 60 piece orchestra like you might have in the London Philharmonic or LA. It's a small chamber string section, but they do a great job. And you want to know what my favorite string part in this song is?
What?
So I love that riff because that's central to the song.
Yeah, it's just like, it feels, it's very, it like, you have a beat in the background, but it's kind of like, it just feels like it connects it all.
But did you notice how the strings respond to her vocal?
I honestly know that, like, the person who's singing it, the way she's singing it also connects to the background music. But I've never really thought about how it relates to her.
Well, I don't mean how it relates harmonically. I actually mean, did you notice in the second verse, the strings come in and they give these little subtle answers to her voice, to her vocals?
Kind of, because she's like, you've been probably thinking once the use.
Listen, let me play it.
Okay. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Because it's... Wanna double back, I do the same thing twice. I question something that I can't deny. Let my baggage up the top. I hear it. Those are really hard to do with samples.
Yeah.
As accurately as that. Because one of the things about strings versus guitars and pianos that you might not think about very often is that strings like violins, cellos, basses, violas do not have frets, which means that you can slide in between the notes. You can't slide in between notes on a guitar or on a piano very easily, but on a string you can go,
yeah, that's
so you hear those, well,
that, yeah, that makes sense. All right, so I don't want to spend too much time on that question. So my second question is, I'm not, I know this is pop music. I mean, Ariana Grande, pop queen, but I feel like you can go into so many different subgenres of pop. So I'm wondering, what genre would you say this song is in? Because compared to some of her other songs, this is completely different. If you heard some of her tracks that sound kind of like, if you've heard One Last Time, she's like, so one more time, I need to be.
Okay, so.
Yeah, so if you think about it, a lot of her songs have that, like, awesome, like, very traditional pop feel. I'm sorry, I might have been pitchy there. But, like,
Sing it on pitch. Come on, yeah, let me hear you.
So one more time, I need to be the one. Can we cut this part out? Pull it up on Spotify.
No.
So one last time, I need to be the one who takes you home.
That's
so
great.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wait.
No, that was great.
Okay.
We're going to keep that. We're leaving that in. We're not editing that out.
Just cut the rest out.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, but if you listen to that song, I'm sorry, I'm not great at singing it, but if you listen to that song, it has a very different vibe than this song.
So, yeah, that song...
Like, so I'm wondering, like, if... Talk about, like, what subgenre of pop you put this in. Because, I mean, I wouldn't say it's completely indie pop, but it has kind of, like, a very unique feel.
So to me, having grown up in the 80s and 90s, it makes me think a lot about 90s R&B. And that's where I think that beat kind of comes out of. 90s R&B pop. So I'm thinking about artists like En Vogue, Destiny's Child, TLC, Belle Biv DeVoe. I'm sure there's a lot, many others, because it's not a genre that I listen to deeply, but you couldn't avoid it if you went to the mall or a restaurant or wherever. You always heard R&B pop in the 90s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've heard that, like, one of her big influences are, like, Destiny's Child, Mariah Carey, like, Whitney Houston, people like that who are very big R&Bs in, like, the 90s and 80s, right?
Yeah. So One Last Time, for example, is faster, and it has a four on the floor, which is a dance pop beat that comes out of the disco era and through techno music and into pop music. So it's booch, 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 booch.
Yeah.
But this one is a little more chill. It's still, you can dance to it. It's not a super slow R&B ballad. It's more of an up-tempo R&B song.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah, like going back to that controlled upbeatness, it's very...
So do you know the song Scrubs by TLC?
I actually don't know that song.
You don't know that song?
I do. I mean, I probably do. I just don't know the name. I've
this
probably heard it
song
somewhere.
This song was
but...
massive in 1999. And when you hear it, I think you will understand some of the lineage of 90s R&B to this song. You want to hear some
okay,
of it?
Okay, yeah, I'd like to hear some. Yeah, definitely Love Language has that same feel and vibe. It's a little faster, but I mean, I see the connection now because in that song, Scrubs, and you're right, I have heard it. I've just never known it was called Scrubs, but, you know, it has that, like, string. If you listen closely, you can't really hear it, like, if you're, like, running, jogging, not really paying attention, but I could definitely hear it. And I do hear the similarities. Yeah, 90s R&B is very influential over this album, I feel like. I mean, I'm not Ariana Grande, but I just hear it.
She was probably listening to that when she was a little kid.
Probably, because I'm guessing she's like around that age.
This song came out in 1999. Let's see how old Ariana Grande is. Let's go to the Wikipediator.
Wikipediator.
He was born in 1993.
So that means she would have been like 6 then.
Ooh.
But I mean, I bet, so that means she's 27. But I bet that that song was probably trending all through the 2000s, so.
Yeah, yeah. So it's probably some of the first music she jammed to.
Probably.
And she was a theater kid, so she was probably pretty in tune with what she was listening to at an early age.
Yeah, she got into the Nickelodeon show because her first gig was on Broadway, so.
Yeah. So I bet she's heard that song before. And I'm not saying it's the only song that has that beat, but that genre is where this comes from.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I'm going to move on to the next question. So what is the beat in the background during the verses, and how do you mix a beat like that? So if you listen to... Well, since you clarified the verses are kind of the chorus, if you listen to the beat, it's not like a trap beat like we hear in most songs. It's not like a snare beat. It's kind of, I feel like it's very authentic in that way. Can we listen to that section? I know you probably think it was the use. I promise it's the little things that you do that made me want. Like, wait, Dad, pause it. I'm sorry, guys. So if you drop the vocal and if you drop the string part and if you just have the beat, I feel like it's very, like, I can't tell what drum it is. And I feel like it's very, like, I'm not sure. I was very curious about the beat. And, you know, you're a composer. You work with, like, digital mixers. So I knew you were the guy to ask for this. And also, I feel like it has that... I'm not sure what this instrument is or if it's just a digital sound, but it's like the beat and then... Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
There's like that sort of moody bell sound.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
And that drum beat, because I feel like the moody bell sound and the beat go well together, which makes kind of a whole beat that you can jam
so
out to.
So the drum beat, I pulled up a drum... Oh my gosh. My daughter is correcting me on my microphone technique. What have I created?
Get closer to the microphone, then.
Oh my gosh. So I pulled up a like a hip hop R&B drum kit, and I tried to play along for a second, and so the beat is like this. It's very open. It's syncopated, but there's really very few notes, and it lets that bell sound do all the work in between the beats.
Yeah.
Rhythmically. So the beat is very simple.
The bells are on like the and beat, right? And I feel like the bells are like, I'm not sure how to say it, but it's like, you know, syncopation, right? Where something happens off, like off the beat. I feel like the bells are kind of like that. Like the beat is like one, two, three, and then the bell sounds are kind of like one, and, two, and. Do you get what I mean? I may be completely wrong. This is very unlikely, but I don't know. The writer of this song may be listening and may be like, oh my God, Giles, you're completely wrong. I don't have the arrangement, so I don't know, but that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think the bells are meant to be kind of funky and to add movement in between the beat.
So you can kind of like jam along, dance.
Yeah, the bells, it's interesting. I'm hearing them and they sound very simple to me, but I'm still having a hard time actually playing them. Let me just try for a sec. Okay, so yeah, the bell part, it's interesting because what it does is not only does it destabilize the rhythm by playing off the beats most of the time, but it destabilizes the harmony because it keeps giving you this song is in C, but the bell part keeps giving you this subtle E natural and E flat. So in the scale and key of C, so you take piano,
yes,
and you've learned some harmony. So if you're playing in C and you have an E flat, are you in major or minor?
That's minor. I mean, if you had an E, it'd definitely be major, but minor.
Right.
Yeah.
So the bell part does this thing. It's very hard to hear, but it keeps flipping between this E flat G, the F chord, and then C and E natural.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
So it makes you feel like
it's kind of like every pop song has like a no, not every pop song. I'm not gonna say that. I'm not gonna generalize. But my piano teacher says like in a ton of songs, this is like basically like, you know, in a book, you most of the time will have a climax and then resolution, right? There's always, in a song, kind of a climax where you're, like, unresolved, and then you have, like, your home note, which I like to say. It's kind of like your resolved state, like, if you're in the key of C, probably, and on, like, a C chord, something like that.
Yeah, so the interesting thing about this is that the harmony doesn't come from moving to, like, a big G dominant chord, which would be the big tension creating chord in C. That would be like, we never get to that chord, right?
No.
And we never get to any subdominants like 2, 6. You're basically in C almost the whole time except for F, which comes in quite a bit. But what this does harmonically is that it just keeps flipping between major and minor in the A section, and then in a B section, you get the most satisfying vocal pad out of Ariana Grande on a big C major chord, which firmly establishes C major. That's why that moment feels so satisfying. So in the B section, it goes like this.
She has those really awesome harmonies, which actually is a great bridge to my next question.
Mm-hmm.
We're done in this section of the questions, right?
Okay, boss.
All right. No, if you have more to say, go say it. But
no.
That's a great bridge because I have a harmonic question now. So how do like the harmonies in kind of like the pre-chorus slash A section kind of like lead up to the chorus and create a build, and or I feel like this song is hard to, it's hard to identify if it has a build or not, because like I was saying, I always come back to this controlled upbeatness. Like, most songs, if they're very upbeat, they'll have, like, a build, and then boom, awesome chorus. But, like, how do her harmonies kind of, like, lead up to, like, you know, your typical pop song format? You have a build. How does it, if it is, a like, since it's the pre-chorus, how does it lead up? And how does it create a tension, or tension build? You know, how does it create a build that feels like tension so when you get to the chorus, it's so satisfying?
Well, I think I actually kind of answered that in the last answer. It's the instability of this figure.
Oh my God, Dad. Oh my gosh, Dad. I am so dumb. You are right. You basically answered it because we were kind of talking about that.
And then you go to the big F, which is an F minor. And then that big C chord.
Yeah, you totally, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why did I answer that question? I wasted like a minute. Okay, on to the next question. So after the chorus, the section that is different from the rest of the song, here we finally get to talk about the coda, which I've been very curious about. So after like the last refrain of the chorus, the section that is the different that is different from the rest of the song, why do you think they kind of added that at the end? Because like I was saying, every song, like everything in a song has a reason. Like you have to have a reason to have a coda, I mean. And why, so I'm, if anyone has been working with Ariana or just has like, has an answer to this, this is just a theory. Please, Dad, don't like, just saying, this is a theory. We may likely be wrong. But like, why do you think they added it?
This has stumped me, honestly. I have no idea. I mean, so from a storytelling perspective, when you look at the lyrics, when she gets to the coda, she says,
"Head over my shoes like a, no, you like your inside jokes," like that, right?
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, inside jokes is kind of related to, like, secret love language.
But she says something about being in slow-mo, and the tempo of that coda is a lot slower than the rest of the song.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more. I mean, I'm not going to say it's more chill, but it has, like, a different feel. That's why I thought it was a different song.
It also resolves all the tension.
Yeah, it's like, because at the end she's like, "I'm going to make you my home." And then
it resolves, like there's all this tension between major and minor in the song itself. And then the coda is really straight ahead harmonically. It just goes. It goes to the F major there.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's almost like they've, she's gone through this whole period.
Like, maybe she was, like, at the beginning, she was kind of in love language, in the real, like, in like, the refrain part, she's, like, kind of shaky with it, but she's also, like, okay, we'll speak love language, and then, like, I don't know, a year later, she's, like, okay, I'm gonna say this.
Exactly, like, a year later. It's like the it's like when you read a novel and there's an epilogue.
Yeah.
That's like, what it feels like to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, we're not gonna say this is true, because we may likely be wrong, so please. Anyone who knows this, please.
I mean, the other thing is she could have maybe had a whole section that sounded like that and maybe cut it down and just add. And
yeah, just so it didn't sound like completely off guard.
Yeah.
All right, on to our last question. So is the chord progression similar to other hit songs she has? Like, do you think maybe, I don't know, she had a hit song and she's kind of like, is do you think the chord progression is kind of similar? And do you think she had like a reason for making it this kind of unresolved and then resolved kind of feeling in the chorus?
I don't probably don't know enough about her catalog to say for sure if she has another song that's just like this.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
it sounded unique to me.
Yeah, we do know that a lot of her other albums are a little more pop traditions. Pop, sorry, I'm going to rephrase that. Traditional pop. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot more, as you said at the beginning, controlled than a lot of her previous
like, yeah, songs. I'm going to go back to that example one last time. It's like, so one last time. And I can't say it like a cappella. It sounds very controlled a cappella, but like when you have...
Or like No Tears Left to Cry.
Yeah, or like No Tears Left to Cry. She's like, oh, I gotta get into the beat. It's like...
Right
now, I'm in a state of mind. Love it, I'm living, I'm picking it up, picking it up. Like, you know what I mean, guys. Whoever's listening, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe somebody can contact us and tell us if they find us another song in her catalog.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Them of, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dad, this was very interesting. I learned a lot.
I learned a lot, too. By whenever you analyze a song that you've listened to, you learn about how other people work and how other people think about their songwriting and how songs
function. Yeah, and you kind of have, like, a different point of view of, like, you know, I'm just a girl in the car listening to one of my favorite singers, and you're like, oh, this is really catchy. But now that you actually talk about it, you have kind of a different perspective over the song.
Yeah, it's a cool song. I love the strings. I think the strings on the whole album are really well done. And
if you listen to like Shut Up, Positions, any of those other songs, you'll hear.
Yeah, really, really tastefully done, well recorded. Her vocal harmonies all across the record are just so lush. Whatever microphones she's using, she's an amazing singer and does a great job with it. And this album, I mean, it's not like doesn't feel like a triumphant album for her. It feels more like just like a
soothing,
like a groove.
Kind of Yeah. Well, if you don't already know, well, obviously, whoever's listening, you won't know because this is our first episode. But we always are going to talk about, well, not talk about, I'm going to tease. We're going to tease what our next song is going to be. So our next song is going to be Holy by Justin Bieber featuring Chance the Rapper, which, Dad, you can speak for this one. You love this song, right?
So I never thought I'd be a Belieber. But after months of driving around with Hits 1 on Sirius XM on, I have to say that every time this song comes on, it makes me feel good. It has such a positive energy. With that gospel choir, it's all about the gospel
choir.
Yeah,
and it's definitely very... I'm not going to get into a whole
and then
ballad,
whole,
but like...
When you go into the water!
Yeah, with the rapper, he's great. But it's like a very, like... It's very, like... Feel so holy. And then it goes like... And into the city like a chakra. It has like... This song actually reminds me of No Tears Left to Cry by Ariana Grande. I can't speak, but what I was saying was Ariana Grande, because she's like, right now I'm in a state of mind. And then you go...
Yeah.
So I feel like, and then...
Like a really emotive quiet part with a really funky part.
Yeah, because Justin Bieber is like, yeah, he's like, but the way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. And then he's like, oh, God. So that'll be interesting to talk about. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, me too. I look forward to studying it.
Yeah, so thank you, everybody, for listening, or whoever is listening. We appreciate your time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been delightful to be here with you, Willa.
Yeah. And also, guys, I'm 11 years old, and my dad and I are starting our own podcast, and I'm doing kind of like half the work, and Anchor's made it really easy. So if you want to start a podcast, I definitely recommend I definitely recommend signing up for Anchor.
Yeah.
You can get it as an app or just go to anchor.fm.
Cool.
Yeah, so bye-bye.
Bye-bye.